Well, let's explore that passage of Scripture together this morning as we continue in this series called God with Us, as we respond to all that we've celebrated this Christmas and look to the early life of Jesus. And today looks at Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. So you might like to find that on your device, where if you've got a second device handy, if you're watching online, or if you have a Bible online with you this morning, you're welcome. If you are invited to come to church in person, to bring a Bible with you. That's one of the new COVID-safe practices, so online is often really helpful. Well, let me begin with a question. What were you doing at age 12 years old? This fella on screen at 12 years of age is the likeness of King Manasseh, the 14th king of the kingdom of Judah, among all of the people of Israel long ago. But at age 12, when he was taking the throne over that kingdom, he was in cahoots with the Assyrian king of the day, loyal to Sennacherib, and he was, as a lad, someone who was completely influenced by the Assyrian nation taking over leadership of God's people. Well, he reigned for 55 years and is regarded as the most evil monarch of biblical history. What was he doing at 12 years old? Well, he was hanging out with the wrong people and taking a huge amount of responsibility. At age 12, this guy on screen might be familiar to you, Justin Bieber. I'm not a believer, but everybody knows who he is. He came second at age 12 in a local song contest, singing Neo's hit, So Sick. Now, that pretty much sets the direction for Justin Bieber for the whole of his YouTube sensational global superstar career. But of course, today he's doing much the same as he was doing back then, but you can fill out the rest of the story. On a more positive note, at age 12, long before Greta Thunberg's campaigning, a girl named Severne Kulas-Suzuki addressed the UN Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro about 28, 29 years ago in Brazil. And that young woman told the gathering that we must change our ways to protect our environment. At age 12, she did this. Today, in her adult life, on record, she has been a lifelong activist in Canada for Indigenous rights and justice. They say that what you were doing at age 12 can tell you a lot about who you are. That's pretty scary. I was sitting at home avoiding schoolwork, teaching myself pop songs on guitar, and maybe that explains a lot about me today. But they say whatever you were doing at 12 can tell you a lot about a person. Well, Luke's gospel tells us what Jesus of Nazareth was doing at age 12. So if you turn to chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, beginning at verse 41, you'll see that the scene is an annual pilgrimage. Now, I don't know about those who are gathered in the room today. You might have had plans for an annual holiday interstate, but instead you had to go to Rosebud or Phillip Island or something, right? Or simply stay at home. But we know about annual pilgrimages, don't we, here in Melbourne? It's something very common to the summer holiday time. Well, the Holy Family, way back when, as the Bible describes, made an annual trek of more than 150 kilometres from Nazareth to Jerusalem. They did so to participate in the great festival of Passover, the festival of unleavened bread, that defining festival built around the story of the exodus of God's people from Egypt long ago. There was nothing remarkable about this extended family journey. But the boy Jesus, at this stage in his life, among that great travelling cohort that would have moved its way from his hometown all the way to that great city of Jerusalem, he was just 1 year away from his bar mitzvah, his coming of age, to take on adult responsibility in that extended family and village and community. If you look to your Bible in verse 43, you'll see that it's implied after the 7 days of that great festival in Jerusalem, when the whole cohort had moved off and headed back towards Nazareth, the text tells us in verse 43 that the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, I still remember that terrifying moment as a child when I got separated from my mum at the Melbourne show. You know how there used to be crowds and crowds of people, all with their show bags here in our city. Shaking in my boots, I remember saying to myself, have they abandoned me? Have they left without me? I was about 18 at the time, pretty insecure as a child, as you can imagine, just joking. But in this account, we're not dealing with a similar circumstance to my anxieties back at the Melbourne showgrounds. In this account, if you look closely at the text, the whole passage, there's no hint of negligent parenting going on here. Have a look at verse 43, verse 44, and verse 48, and kind of capture the sense of what's going on. There's no account or hint of negligent parenting suggested. Nor is Jesus deliberately hiding himself, abandoning his earthly family, so to speak. No. Instead, in the original Greek text, it simply says Jesus remained in Jerusalem after the throng of people had left. But as we look at the text, he was engaged in quite an unusual activity for a 12-year-old boy of his time. We read in verses 45 to 47 that he was found in the temple courts with the scholars and the teachers. Tells us in verse 45 to 47, I'll just come back to that picture, tells us verse 45 to 47, when they couldn't find Jesus, his family went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, yes, another 3 days after a whole day of travelling and coming back, they finally discovered Jesus in the temple there sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. As I hinted at earlier, we've set this sermon series in January as a way to explore that title, the backstory to that title given in Matthew's Gospel, Emmanuel, to the Christ child, meaning God is with us. And of course, in Luke, we see Jesus' early life really, really clearly displayed. It confirms what Luke's gospel wants to proclaim. Jesus is truly human. He is truly connected to God's long promised and prepared plans in the scriptures. And we get here the sense that what the gospel declares elsewhere, Jesus is truly divine in his origins. Now, other boys followed in, you know, their father's earthly footsteps at the time of Jesus. It's not a gender thing. It's a patriarchal society and the way that things were. It would be normal for a 12-year-old boy to take on what his father's business was. But when Mary and Joseph finally found Jesus, sitting among the scholars and teachers, Jesus had to remind them what they already knew, to whom he truly belonged, from where he truly came. In verse 49, we read Jesus' reminder to them. They come anxiously looking for him, find him there, and he says, why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? As we know from Luke's gospel so far, he was born of Mary, yes. But Luke's nativity narratives tell us Jesus' origins were also from God. And if we were to transliterate the ancient Greek here, it would simply say that he was about his father's business. About his father's business. Now, any ordinary Jewish person would not speak of God as their personal father in those days. They wouldn't speak of God as the heavenly father to which they were attached as a son or daughter, as Jesus did here. He's not merely, in Luke's presentation, a godly child. He is what the scriptures go on to call the Son of God, with all of its cultural, metaphorical, and theological significance to us in our understanding of God's saving love. What Jesus was doing at age 12 reveals so much of who he is and what his life's purpose was to be for the world. Luke's showing us that Jesus the adult was not some Johnny-come-lately rabbi appearing on the Bible scene for just a 3-year miracle tour, for instance. Instead, from his earliest years, the gospel writer wants us to see that Jesus' humanity and his divinity were inseparable. His connectedness to the messianic promises of Scripture are unmistakable. And his mission as the agent of God's salvation for all is without doubt to the gospel writers. Jesus' MO, if you like, in life is to be where and to be at what God is doing. And when we see Jesus' own self-disclosure in John's Gospel, chapter 5, it helps to comment on what's going on here as a 12-year-old. "Very truly, I tell you," said Jesus, "the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." And Penny and I, some years ago, when you were allowed to travel, travelled to the island of Rhodes in that great kind of confluence between the Mediterranean Sea and the Aegean Sea, between Turkey and Greece. Just an amazing place. And we travelled out the back of Rhodes on the Mediterranean side to a place called Lindos, actually mentioned in the book of Acts. And the locals there informed us as we went to this homestead restaurant right on the shore that the son who had taken over from the father to manage this family business of this great restaurant was doing a wonderful job. They said to us, it has lost nothing of its great hospitality, of its extraordinary generosity, or of its quality of food since the son took over from the father. What is it that Jesus referred to as the family business that he was in? In verse 49, he wasn't talking about carpentry in Nazareth, as noble a trade as that might have been at the time for him to pursue. Instead, Luke's telling us that Jesus' business was that of his heavenly Father, of God, bringing to the world and to all creation the saving love and grace that the world has been promised and sorely needs from God. The angels of Luke chapter 1, remember, announced this good news that the promised one of God was in that babe at Bethlehem, Christ the Lord, they said. Simeon and Anna, who we looked at last week in Luke chapter 2, declared aloud that this child means God's long promised and prepared salvation for all nations has come in this child. And here in our text today, Jesus' self-disclosure points to himself as the Son of God, taking care of his heavenly Father's business here on earth. Don't worry too much about what you were doing at age 12. That's not my point here today. Maybe you've already been scanning back through history and thinking, gee, what was I like? The point that I want to pull out of this text for our pastoral needs today is this. It matters for us as Christians what Jesus was doing at age 12. And what his purpose, by faith we are now joined to him and his narrative, his story arc is one we have been woven into. And so that really his heavenly Father's business is our business in the world today. In this communion liturgy today, we will pray after we've received the bread and wine with thanks for all that Christ has done for us and ask God to fill us with his Spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing peace to this world. What a great summary of taking care of God's business here on earth, which has now been handed to the responsibility of the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be reminded in these words, but invited to participate in the meaning of these words in the way we now live our adult lives, those of us who are adults watching here today. Let's be clear in this time of hope and new resolutions as the new calendar year begins. just whose business we are in and whose work we are called to take part in the power that God gives for us to do so. And I wish you a happy new year and a hopeful one with those thoughts today.